Recording going. So, welcome everyone to our third Wednesday Peace Alliance Department of Peace Building campaign call for the Department of Peace Building campaign. We've already had a wonderful little conversation going before we started the call, but we'll officially start now. We usually do some very brief check-ins. So if who would like to start us off, just say hi, where you're from, whatever you'd like to say about the bill or peace.
I'll just say hi to Amanda. I was trying to do that when my screen froze before. So welcome. Thank you. And I'm from California, and I am all for the Department of Peace Building Bill.
And that is Nancy Merritt, our council lead for the Department of Peace Building Bill with the Peace Alliance. Yes.
And
And
I'm
I'm
the,
Elva. Oh,
go
sorry,
ahead.
Lori.
No,
Go
it's
ahead.
okay. No, it's better. So I'm Lori. I live in DC. And yes, Nancy and I had the pleasure of meeting Amanda so recently. But anyway, the Department of Peace, I'm all in too, just like Nancy.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Arlington is right between Dallas and Fort Worth, and I'm a recent. I noticed that my organization, Ambassadors for Aging Well, is on your list of organizations that support it, and my name was on the individual sheet also. So I guess a while back I must have been somewhat involved, but I'm back now with a big interest in world peace. So
You know, you can never be removed from that list.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
Even if you pass away, like Walter Cronkite, you can't be removed.
Yeah.
Right,
Rest in peace, yes.
rest in peace.
I'm Kendra from Thomasville, Georgia, the itinerant traveler, and I'm taking the peace bill with me everywhere.
Amina, and I am from San Francisco Bay Area in California. Similar to Nancy, I serve on the National Committee for the Department of Peace Building, and again, all in for it.
Beth, you want to say hi?
Oh, are you talking to me
Yeah, your
from
official little.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm Beth Glick. I just moved out of North St. Paul. I'm going through a housing transition. I'm in a crisis hotel in Plymouth, Minnesota, temporarily until I get more permanent housing. But I'm planning on moving to Madison, Wisconsin, more permanently. And I've been, involved with this project of getting a Department of Peace since 2018, since I met Karen Johnson at a NOW conference in Bloomington,
Yeah.
which I'm grateful for.
At a what kind of conference was that?
Now, National
It
Order.
was
Oh, okay. Okay,
National
now.
NOW in Bloomington.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm a board member of the Minnesota State NOW conference board, the Minnesota State NOW chapter board member. Yeah,
Nice.
currently.
And Beth has medicine DC for lobbying as well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I almost forgot to say that. Thank you. Yeah.
I'll say hello, Karen from Illinois,
Yeah.
also on the National Committee.
Oh, God.
Look forward to us talking about the Peace on Earth by 2030 game later on. He had a wonderful call today, and I'm just really feeling the connection and the hope and the wonderfulness of it.
And I'm Amanda, and I'm thrilled to be here. And yes, I was with Karen on the Peace on Earth by 2030.
That's funny.
We know it's happening. We had a profound, impactful, and yeah, extraordinary call just, a few hours ago. So I am all in for the bill, all in for what's happening. And in the UK, I've been working for peace since I was 8 years old. Used to have these dreams that I would sing to the President of the United States. And I had this recurring dream for about 4 years, 5 years from a little girl, and that he'd stop a war. And obviously, that's not necessarily what's going to happen. However, I am working with and have set up the Dignity and Care campaign. So I work very much in the UK. I'm well known for all the elder care, stopping elder abuse, and has 500,000 dignity champions. I'm also one of the main speakers in the UK on the end of life care, and write many books and films on peaceful passing because I'm also a death doula and a funeral celebrant. And I also work profoundly with those that have gone through child abuse and domestic abuse, using very
Oh.
methods which are sort of poetic alchemy, and also the works that I do in my own sort of private practice. So for me, it's about peace from birth to death and beyond. And so it's
Yeah.
an honor to be here.
Beautiful.
Good.
The person that you're showing up as CEP Tahoe, would you like to say hello? No, there you go. You're off mute now.
Go ahead.
Back on mute.
Amina, did you introduce yourself?
I did. Thank you, Kendra.
Yeah, I think we got everybody. Like, yeah, okay. All right. Well, that person, if come off mute and talk when you can, and we'll go ahead, and it's okay to interrupt us, because we'd like to hear from you and say hello. But we'll go ahead with the agenda. Lori or Nancy, would you like to introduce Amanda in any other way before she gives us her gift?
You're on mute, Laurie. You're on mute, Laurie.
Got it. So in the peace game, you have groups of three people, and so, but it they. It, and so you meet as the whole group, and then they put you into a separate room with your teammates. But on this particular day, so Nancy and I got in the same room, but here was Amanda. And Amanda said that pretty much from the beginning, I think because her teams, like people would drop off, drop out. So she was in a different group through this like 9 weeks. So we were just, I just felt so lucky that she was in our group for that. But for a half hour, and this, and get a little getting to know about her, and she's talking about how she has a song. We asked her to sing for us, and that we invited her to come back because it's really a gift to have met you. So.
So I would just say her song and her voice speak for themselves.
Well, we have so much in common, Amanda. I mean, I've helped people with home funerals as well. And I work with, advocating for older people here in my community. I'm on the Adult Protective Services Board
Oh,
and yada yada.
perfect,
Kindred
perfect.
spirit.
I really look forward to you because the films that I make have been used a lot in America on elder abuse. So, I sold my flat to when I was a single mum to make a film in memory of my mum, 10-minute film called What Do You See? And then I've made 50 other films that all look at dignity and end of life care. And I teach different, the Mayo Clinic has used some of my work and various other people. So, you know, I would love those films because they're so impactful and the personal story says so much more than white paper or legislation can. Because we know when people's emotions are engaged, that's when change can happen. So that's part of the storytelling aspect of, so I'd love to see where some of the other work I have in the UK can just filter in and flow in if it's, you know, if it's appropriate.
Are your videos available online that you could put a link in the chat?
I will put a link up. I'm not that good about putting links in the chat, so I'll get better. I'll send to Nancy or Laurie
okay.
or Pam the details, and then I can give you a link to the work there. But yes, and I think when I was with Laurie and Nancy, I was talking about, so I also run big community events of peace. So 300 people at a time for community building. They're free events because as a celebrant, I lead many ceremonies and have done since I was very young. And for me, it's about also making sure that we sing with the environment. So with the waters is something I'm very passionate about. So allowing the waters to hold the frequency of our intention of peace, so that if you like, that goes out in our sort of vibrational signature, like our own message in the bottle that combines with the element of the water, which is 80% of us anyhow. And that waves of peace are then going to reach all the way around the world. So the image that seems to be coming is that I saw choirs and everybody, drummers on every beach around the world, singing and drumming for peace. And some of the other groups I'm involved in, they are now starting to do this. So this is really exciting for me. I'm just going to stop my lamp from catching fire because there's just some smoke coming out of it.
Oh,
I'm turn it off. It's the dragon. It's the energy of the dragon.
The dragon.
About needing water.
She was so calm about it.
Okay. I know. Lots of freaky things have been going on today. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. So are you ready to sing us your beautiful
song?
I am.
And also, Karen's already heard me, but hopefully she won't mind again.
Oh,
I've also got my beautiful heartfelt singing bowl here as well. So I'm going to now know what to do. I'm going to turn on this because this, again, is new for me. Okay. So we're going to, if you want to close your eyes, that's absolutely up to you. Just place maybe one hand on your heart if that feels comfortable. You don't have to close your eyes, of course not. But we're just allowing and feeling this beautiful heartfelt connection of peace for ourselves as well as for the world. May there be peace in the east. And peace in the west. May there be peace in the north. And peace in the south. May there be peace without. And peace within. As our journey of peace begins, as our journey of life it brings, as our journey of peace it sings.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
And before the end of the call, we'll put a link in the chat with a to a video with what we just experienced live. Yeah, so people can listen to it as often as they like. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. So what else do we have to do tonight?
I know. It's. I feel so good after that.
Because, right, you know. Here for a while. No. Nancy's the lucky one that has to follow that with the logistical updates on the camp.
Yes, I'm too chillin' to do it. I'm sorry, guys.
King, maybe you should sing it.
Oh, you don't want to hear that. I could do a rap or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, that just feels so good.
Well, that was beautiful. So I'll give the short version of what we're up to in the campaign, and then maybe if we have time after our discussion, because we want to leave as much time for discussion as possible if people have questions later on in the call. Mostly this is a thank you for... We're in the midst of Season for Nonviolence, and what we've done so far this year is actually amazing for the campaign. And I'm just going to speak to the congressional advocacy part of it, not to all the other parts that we've done. But we have a list of 266 members of Congress that we contacted in one way or another. We have a what we're calling our bread and butter list of 92 members that we're really focusing on and, you know, sending emails to and trying to get meetings. So far during Season for Nonviolence, through next Monday, we will have had 20 meetings with members of Congress by Zoom. And we've had... our Amplify list we've sent out, so that's been another five members of Congress. Laurie Russo has been to the Hill, what, in February, in March, and maybe you're going next week or the end of this week. Right. So I think with her, with your drop-offs, Laurie, I think the first time you dropped off literature to about 90 people, and the second time to about... maybe another 19. Jana was just on the Hill for Tibetan Lobby Days, and she also connected with some of the New York members of Congress and senators and gave them postcards about Department of Peace Building. We've made really so far hundreds really of emails and phone calls to members of Congress. And we now have 43 co-sponsors and are following up on lots and lots of others. So this is all totally a group effort. So I want to thank everybody. And that's the short story. So I'll turn it back over, I guess, to Kendra, right, for the discussion part.
Okay. Thank you, Nancy. And in the invitation email that Karen sent out, the topic for discussion tonight is about sacrificing, making sacrifices for the nonviolence and peace in our world. And so many times I've heard stories, personal stories, about people whom I consider to be heroes or heroines. And they made many sacrifices, even death, for themselves. And Gandhi and I can't remember his name. The California person, Cesar Chavez.
Cesar Chavez, yes.
They fasted almost till death, and they broke down their bodies by doing so. When and so I wonder to myself when I hear those stories what I'm capable of sacrificing. And I marvel at how these heroes and heroines sacrificed and I don't know. I'm wondering. I've emailed and spoken and all of those things, but I would never endanger. And soldiers do this all the time for our country, and police officers and so on. So I'm just asking you to think about what would we each do in terms of making sacrifices for peace, for nonviolence, and how that would be in each of our lives. Do we need a leader or a group to do that? And I'm just waiting for your insights.
Well, I was thinking before the call started that just the campaign for a U.S. Department of Peace is a perfect example. You know, we're all volunteers here. So, you know, I have mixed feelings about the word sacrifice. You know, and Martin Luther King had was the phrase redemptive suffering. So, kind of suffering for a greater good, or, you know, temporary. So I look at it as maybe sacrificing some of your free time. Like, what else would I be doing with my time? You know, playing a game or what? I don't know. But it's just kind of reprioritizing your life to work for a cause greater than yourself. So in a way, everybody that's contributed toward the campaign or other works that are for not only their own benefit, but for the benefit of others, that there's a sacrifice, but not so much of a harmful sacrifice, although we do have to maintain balance, so we're not sacrificing too much of ourselves in the pursuit of a greater cause. Anyway, those are just kind of the thoughts that came to mind for me.
I'm thinking of the Stoics, the ancient Stoics, and how their highest aspiration was virtue. That's the highest good, is virtue, and everything is kind of underneath that. And when you live a life of virtue, then you're a happy person. That's how you reach happiness. So, what is sacrifice about that, you know? Living a life of virtue, you get something more valuable than anything, really.
I understand what you're saying about the sacrifice for peace. And Helen Keller had said, you know, I'm only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. I'll not refuse to do the something I can do. So maybe it's about what will you give for peace rather than what you would sacrifice for peace. Because in a way, the word sacrifice is such an interesting word, isn't it? And it's so triggering for many people. There's something about what would you give for peace? And I know that we'd have to give up, and I'm always devastated by those that put their head above the parapet, and you think again and again, you stand up for something amazing and you get taken out. It seems to be, you know, again and again and again and again. So actually, just by giving your voice, you're sacrificing something possibly by standing up, by giving your words and your aligned deeds and actions. You may be sacrificing on some level, but at the same time, what are you gaining by standing up for peace? So how much can we gain? How much can we receive, and how much, you know, power can we activate for peace? Can we do this in a different way? Can we reverse the polarity and actually all of us feel empowered in that way to move forward as a collective, so no one individual has to sacrifice beyond what's human to endure?
That's beautiful, all of that. I've been thinking along the same lines. I don't like the word sacrifice. It to me, it conjures some things that I, you know, to destroy or injure or slaughter or whatever. That doesn't feel like what I want to be in alignment with. So just the idea of getting to a place where our thoughts and our words and our actions are all in alignment for peace and for a bigger cause, I think that's, and for being in harmony, that rings more true to me than saying sacrifice. And yeah, I think standing up and being a voice, you know, it can be a sacrifice on many levels. We don't know, but I think that, to me, that's more what it's about than slaughtering a lamb.
Mina?
Yes, I agree with everything you all said. It's just beautiful, and I completely agree. And what Elva mentioned, that it's hard to say, even, you know, that you're giving anything, because you just gain so much more than you get. I'm an accountant, and so this balance sheet is out of balance, where you get more, far more than you give. For me, when I first heard about the legislation a couple of years ago from Marianne Williamson, it just sparked something in me. You know, working mom of two. Very busy, and two elderly parents at the time to care for. It was very, I didn't know what I was able and capable of doing. My skills as an accountant, what can I do? And that's when I joined and asked Nancy and others how I can contribute. In that sense, for me, it was, how may I serve? How may I serve? That's the prayer that I start when I first wake up. Mm-hmm. I thank God and I for another day, another breath, and I ask, how may I serve? And so that's the question that I started with. And I've served for the past, you know, almost 2 years, and I've gained so much more than I've given. Any lunch hour, any weekends or evenings that I have time, I would type emails to the members of Congress, and I could do that. I knew I could do that. I could type emails. I could reach out to people, and, you know, I had beginners, like, I had a few co-sponsors, but I continue on that path, and whatever I can do, I look for it, and I gain so much more than I give. I could not agree with that more. So thank you for all your perspectives. I agree with all of them.
I first heard of, go ahead.
Go ahead, Elva.
I was just going to say that I first heard of the U.S. Department of Peacebuilding also from Marianne Williamson when she was running for president. I'd never heard of it before, and I thought, wow, there is something. And and yet I did not vote for her in the primary that just happened. I'm trying to think I guess she wasn't even on the ballot. I voted in the Democratic primary, so I guess she wasn't on the ballot. But in November, do you guys recommend, or do you vote for Marianne Williamson, or is that too personal a question? It probably is, but
she won't be on the ballot.
I don't think she'll be on the ballot.
Yeah, she was on my ballot. I guess it depends because she suspended her campaign and then she reinstituted it. As part of the Peace Alliance, we're not allowed to come out in favor of any candidate.
Yeah, it's you're a 503C.
We're a C4 and a C3. But then with the C4, the political action, it's not about endorsing or campaigning for candidates. It's a, public
Policy.
policy kind of C4. So
Gotcha.
we don't to endorse that. But we do have people in the campaign that do. We are aware.
Okay.
And it's an individual choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would vote for her.
No, Alba, I personally, again, I'm not speaking on behalf of the DOP or the Peace Alliance, as Karen mentioned. Just personally, on a personal level, yeah, I've been a fan of Marianne, and I just am aligned. Her policies are aligned with my values, plain and simple. And I've been a volunteer for her campaign and did vote for her on the primary because primary is just Democratic and it's not giving it to Trump or the other side. So on the primary, if she was on the ballot for California, I voted for her. But I know that obviously she, we have, Biden going for the next time around. So she definitely won't be on that ballot. But yeah, definitely a big fan myself on a personal level.
How do you
So,
feel personally, Amina?
I just want to clarify because I'm not speaking on behalf of the people.
Bess, did you want to say something about the issue? Okay. And Jana, did you want to say something about?
About sacrifice?
Yes.
With Tibetan Children's Village, their motto is others before self. And there's a movie that I haven't seen yet about the Tibetan Children's Village, Others Before Self. Others Before Self is a good mantra. That's all I'll say. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for this rich conversation, and you've illuminated me. I had many questions, but your answers were helpful. Thank you.
I might also just what Jana said kind of touched me with others before self. It's kind of just like parents, they put their children before themselves, most parents, or that's the ideal. And in a way, I suppose if you're in enough of an adult position in your life, you're kind of the parents for peace on the planet, in our certain context here, working for peace. To the extent that you're capable, putting others before self in as much as you can. There is that kind of connotation, I guess, with like codependency, where you sacrifice too much for another person or for a family situation to your own detriment. So always finding that balance of having your glass full and contributing from an overflowing glass rather than from an empty glass so that you're regenerating yourself and able to contribute more. So I like that. Yeah, thank you all for everything you said. It's been beautiful conversation.
I was just saying about that. I place myself at the center of my own care so that I can better care for others. I train carers, whether they're home carers or professional carers, and someone says to me they are a really good carer because they always put themselves last and everyone in front of them. And I said, well, could you place yourself as equally as important as everybody else so that you're we're building a community of equality. I know that doesn't, it's a very different setup for what you were saying, but on some levels, again, where we've got used to the sacrifice and we haven't got used to the collaboration or the sharing of the caring for in ourselves. So to be powerful peace builders and to not burn out and lose momentum. It isn't about placing everyone in front of yourself. It's including yourself, I think, I feel, in this kind of, I see it like a necklace. I don't know why I'm seeing like a pearl necklace where each one of the pearls in the necklace.
I was going to say, like on the airplane, they always tell parents to put their own oxygen mask on first and then deal with the kids.
So. Yeah, or like it's the concept of self-love, right? That in order to keep up, you know, if you want all this love to go out, this abundance of love, you have to fill your own cup. You have to give yourself a lot of self-love so your cup remains full, right? And it's probably, I think it's the hardest thing, right? It's easy to love people who love us. If you believe in some kind of a creative intelligence or benevolent God, that's easy. But, you know, it's loving ourselves, you know, so it's a big one. I didn't share, but I just want to say, not that it'd be sacrificed, but I say how the Department of Peace was, or when I found out that Denis Kucinich, you know, he's running for president and about this legislation, he was a catalyst that got me to move out here in 2004 from California. But it was something that was within me since I was probably a pretty young gal. I just always felt kind of drawn to the national, where the national decision makers were. And I did a lot of questioning, you know, like, okay, why is it that I want to go to deal with them directly? Why, you know, why don't I start out with the grassroots or at the local level? But anyway, Wayne Dyer and others have said, don't die with the music still in you. So that's when I said, okay, I got to come and see if I can make a difference and bring some love to our politics here. And it was not that it was a sacrifice, but it was hard, you know, moving to a place you don't know anybody and I didn't have a job or a place to live and just said, I got to come. I believe in peace. I got to come. So it took a while, you know, I would go by restaurants and there'd be families, you know, having a celebration and I would just cry, you know, because it just, so, but I feel like this is kind of mine to do, you know, it's easier now that I'm older and a lot of my friends that were, when we used to all be in California, they're in different states. So we're kind of all, you know, it's not quite the same. But yeah, I still get a little jealous, you know, of course, when my family is all together and doing these great things and, you know, but I'm glad to be here. So, but I would say it's more of a giving, you know, than a sacrifice, you know?
Oh, I would call that a sacrifice for sure. Wow, that is quite a story. Wow.
I feel really fortunate, right? I get to live my passion, you know.
Yeah. And you remind me of a book that I have out of the library right now, Finding Your Why, because you were asking that question, you know, why, and digging down seven layers about why this, why that. Yeah. Amanda,
besides,
we're
really lucky to have you, Lori, on the Hill for us or in Washington for us.
Well, there's more I could do, but yeah, it does. There's, you know, other besides the Department of Peace, you know, I'm still working. Like, you know, I met with the House Chaplain and I thought, okay, well, I'm kind of trying to go over her head to see if I could have influence as opposed to trying to work with her. So I'm seeking a meeting with with Mac McCarter. She's on his advisory board, but I just want to have a conversation. Like maybe he could have a conversation with her. Like, you know, what do you think about giving some meditation classes or some active listening classes for these members of Congress? You know, do things that start with a meditation rather than just recite a prayer, you know, do something to get them to just go into the silence for a little bit, you know, just start easy. You know, I just think that could really be helpful. So, you know,
you just need to go sit down in the middle of the hallway in front of somebody's office.
Is that what I should do? Maybe I should just go.
Yeah, and then suddenly everybody will just form a circle around you and
I love you have good ideas. Maybe so. Okay, well, we'll brainstorm on that. But
I think I should,
just light some candles, Lori. Just set up a like a shrine and come.
yes. And you'll be arrested immediately for setting off the fire alarms.
Well, actually, very good segue into the who said there was a person from the Peace Alliance that meditated at the Capitol, but then you said, so I don't know where that came from, but then you remember how we had this.
So Tim Ryan, who was a congressperson, he had a bill about mindfulness, and he did meditation. I guess you think it was every week, Kendra? At least periodically.
I don't know
Yeah.
if it was weekly or monthly, but I think it was weekly.
Right, but okay. So I thought you said it was somebody with the Peace Alliance. I remember Tim Ryan used to have people they could come and meditate. I think, yeah, or
Yeah,
maybe
I
he did
think
it weekly.
someone was just mistaken. Someone thought it was the Peace Alliance, but it was actually Tim Ryan's office.
Got
Yeah, I
it.
think Laura heard from Judy, and that's how she perceived from what Judy told her. But it turns out that that wasn't the
Okay.
case. Yeah,
Anyway, I want that. I want
moving.
that job. If that job comes back up, comes up, I want that job.
That would be interesting.
You're appointed, Lori.
If they don't have it to work with the chaplain and
Yeah.
to kind of reinstate that. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe have it rotating between meditation and other kind of peace building skills like active listening and
Absolutely. Not me. Yeah. I be like a
listening.
program director. You just bring people in, you know, it's not like you have to be the one that knows how to do all this stuff, right? Music, you know, music is just such a, like if they started like every session, you know, the child's chaplain says a prayer every time they're in session. What if like Amanda was singing to them, you know, right. You know, what would they
Beautiful.
feel like right after that? You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been kind of holding as possibility someday, somehow, somewhere. And Amanda, feel no pressure, but if you feel called for this, to have a song about peace building, about the Department of Peace Building, or maybe peace and government or whatever, but something along the lines that's in alignment with what we're trying to do with the Department of Peace Building legislation. Amanda, you may know that we've got a couple of members here that are also part of the Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures of Peace. So there are a number of other countries working on the same thing, and a couple have already adopted or shifted, like a Ministry of Justice to a Ministry of Peace of Justice, like Costa Rica has. So yeah, just and there's people working at the UN to try and get a resolution that encourages all countries to create some kind of government infrastructure for peace building. So somehow that we could communicate that in a song, that would be
I love that.
amazing.
I love that. I will see what comes.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah. We'll
You
keep
know,
it.
Lori, what you said kind of got me thinking when you said that before, when you heard about the from Dennis Kucinich about the Department of Peace, that you felt it resonated with you because the seed was probably there from childhood. He said, I think I would say that's probably why it resonated so strongly with me when I heard from Marianne about it. Just for me, you know, it's I'd say with anybody who grew up as a child in Afghanistan in that area, they probably it's a more like not a wish but a yearning from your soul for peace.
Yeah.
Since you know that land has been so marred by you know war for so long, and so maybe that's the plant, the seed was like you said was there from childhood, and it just resonated with me so much when I heard about it. And I had to get involved. Yeah, thank you for
Thank goodness that
yeah.
you
See,
did.
same.
I
I
could
grew up
say
in
the same thing.
Afghanistan. Yeah. So I grew up there, and we I came as refugees with my family when I was 16.
Wow.
In early 90s, yeah, we escaped the Russian war at the time. And yeah, I
Yes.
still have close family members still there. The past 4 years, they've been through it all. And so by extension, I experience what they go through. So, yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I'm jotted down the note, Costa Rica Ministry of Peace and Justice. I didn't know that, so that was news to me. I did see something this week that the most peaceful country vote. I can't remember who created the list, but Costa Rica was number one as being the most peaceful country.
Yeah.
You think
Probably
there's a
the peace and
correlation?
economic, the economic and peace, what
Index.
is it called? Council or whatever, probably is what that was on. Yeah. I just also wanted to mention, I mean, we talked about sacrifice, that Martin Luther King knew at least from 1962 when John Kennedy was assassinated, he knew that he was going to be killed that way. And he felt so strongly about his message of love and nonviolence that he kept going, even though he carried that sort of burden or that knowledge with him. So that's really powerful that somebody would, knowing how it would end for him, to keep
And how he
going.
spoke about it like the day before, which he normally didn't t speak it. So I mean, talk about, having a premonition.
And he and Ann Coretta, his wife, she knew it too. So they, as a family, they had to move forward with that knowledge.
Yeah, that was a, that your question, reminded me just like in college being asked, what would we, what are you willing to sacrifice for your ideals, right? Like if you don't believe in violence and somebody came into your home, would you, what would you do? I mean, or is there anything you're willing to die for based on your values? I mean, those are, that's a tough question,
Yeah, I go to a Socrates cafe twice a month, and there's a few lawyers in there. And one of them says he always asks his law students, his first year law students, name three things you would die for. And so that question has been broiling around in my head. After your family, so that's number one, you would die for your family. But what next and what next? It's really a question that I've struggled with.
My husband was an officer in the army trying to get out on a conscientious discharge during Vietnam. And the way the army dealt with it is put him through every single level of command. He had to go through interview after interview after interview, basically answering that kind of question. And don't you love your country? What do you think about this war? What do you think about that war? And they're all difficult questions, probably no black and white answers really. So he did get out after 5 months and 29 days, just before he could get the Bill of Rights, the
Oh, the
GI Bill
GI
of Rights.
Bill.
Yeah. Purposely, it was all purpose.
Oh, of course. Oh, my God.
Stolen on part of the army. But yeah, what will we each sacrifice, and what is worth sacrificing for?
Well, we
We
could,
just
yeah,
have
anyway.
8 minutes left. Anything else to wrap up that section before we go to announcements? No. Amanda, you talked a little bit about your work. Nancy had made provisions on our agenda for you to talk anything more about your work that you'd like to. Is there anything you'd like to share with us that you haven't already?
I think this, oh, okay, yeah, I would actually. The audio recordings, and if anyone wants to listen to them, they're very hard hitting, and then it takes you through a journey. So this is around child abuse and domestic abuse, but it takes people on a journey of healing of some kind as well. I have given it to different people who are running different charities and campaigns. And what's been interesting is that everyone's been profoundly affected by it. But I think that we're looking at peace and whether men's circles and groups of men to hear the journey of what is going in for these the different people that I the characters that I have might be a profound building of bridges and understanding. I'm not sure, and those of you that want to hear the recordings, like I say, they pull no punches, but I am very, very keen that they are heard by those that feel w willing to hear it, to then start a conversation around the experiences that we said earlier on, those of you that are watching Palenque, you know, to recognize, or with Earth Mothers Network that I'm on, you know, to recognize that women are sacred and men are sacred. We are all sacred. But within, but that understanding of where does that abuse come from, and how can we, you know, turn the tide and offer an experience whereby they can hopefully, I mean, this may not work, but, you know, I think the poems and the films that I make always seem to have a massive campaigning and a, you know, act. So I feel that these are sensitive subjects, but we can't hide them anymore. And it's a, again, personal story, personal journey with healing within it. So yeah, I would, anyone that feels they want to, they're 15-minute journeys, both of them. And if you know, I can send a link to those, but they are hard hitting, and I obviously I don't want to trigger anybody or anything else like that as well. So I think, you know,
Send us the link and we can continue the conversation on what we
yeah,
how
because I would
we
love your opinions on what you feel and whether there is a place where that does have what it could do in the right circumstances, and a bit like my film. So when I made What Do You See, so basically my mum had appalling care. My mum was a very famous actress in the UK, and I'm also an actress too. And actually I did want to say that I play, I don't know if you know the film, The Princess and the Pea, the original Swan Moon production one. That's me. I am the princess in The Princess of the Pea, that movie. And then I made her laugh because I was going, oh, it's Princess and the Peas. And I was like, oh, and I just listened to a version of it, you know, a while back to show a young, very young little girlfriend of mine. So that was really interesting. But coming back to the power of filmmaking, so for me, the lack of care that my mum had was so appalling. And though I'd been, you know, working with the dying since I was 8 years old and taken to sing to them, since my, you know, my grandmother would take me there, and working in care homes and various other places as a teenager, I just really, really, really felt that I had to, change hospitals with my mum, but also seeing where she'd be an individual. But this was the fear that she had at the age of 70, given a life-limiting disease, that if I put my head above the parapet, if I made a fuss, if I said this is abuse, this is not right, what's going on, that she'd be punished even further. And I think that there are people there that don't have that ability and that the confidence to do something, because I didn't want to make my mum's life any worse. And when she did, I mean, she lived for another year and a half, and she got to see the birth of my son, my brother get married. She received her damehood from the Queen before she died. And she, when she died, I had to do something. I couldn't wait to kind of get out there and think, what can I create that will make such a massive impact? And I thought, if I make this film, so I sold my flat to make this film, and everyone said, you're mad as a single woman. But I got it set up on the BBC. I filmed it where my mum died in the hospice, well, the sort of King Edward VII Hospital. And I went to Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister, And I'd just spoken on Women's Hour and various programs out there. And I said, we have to put dignity at the heart of care. So I wrote the dignity challenges. So what I wanted to say was, so I wrote the dignity challenges for the government, and I've been drumming with my drum and singing at the House of Lords for the last 25 years. And all of that work will still go on about abuse, because that's about peace. But this, the peace building concepts of, you know, creating those films for peace, for creating this department, and if somehow I can do something in the UK that can connect with you as well, and you know, the global departments of peace where we can, would be so exciting, really exciting.
Yeah, we'll talk
we
about
can that. Send you the name of some our main person in Great Britain who's working on this. Yeah. What's his last?
BJ Mehta, Mehta.
Yeah, we need to bring this call to close, but after we stop the recording, sometimes we'll stay on and talk. And we started a tradition last month of playing manifestation meditation after the recording closes as well. That's available to us on YouTube. That was another gift from some people from Pathways to Peace. So just two dates that we want to put out there, that and we've got information in the email that we sent, and we send a monthly reminder so people can get the information again. March 26th on a, is that a Thursday? No, Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Fourth
yeah.
Tuesdays. Mark your calendar for fourth Tuesdays for the peace building with the Peace Alliance Grassroots Committee. Empathy and Peace Building is on March 26th. And then the Peace on Earth game, we included a link to the information session for the next session that starts on May 15th. And our next DOP campaign call on April 17th will include a guest speaker, Linnea Byland, on Arun Gundy and Weaving Peace. So we usually have a closing quote. Can we do that? And then we'll continue on if we'd like to. Does somebody have a closing quote?
Okay, I'll just pick one. Come out of the circle of time and into the circle of love. Rumi. Rumi, of course.
I received you so good.
Rumi does not disappoint. All right. Thank you all. What a beautiful call. I'll stop the recording now and you can stay on if you like.